Chapter 27. Before Valkyrie jumped away toward Earth, I visited Admiral Chandra again to give him a courtesy update, and so that he wouldn't get the governor and every other official on and around the planet spun up for nothing. It was quick and easy to meet him. He was dirtside to confer with his army counterparts and was staying in the VIP guest accommodations next to my house, a house that I was reminded I had to move out of now that I was no longer the garrison commander. It's a crappy thing to say, but while I was away, Margaret would have to manage the move, with a little help from a bunch of staff officers who did stuff a two-star general shouldn't be bothered with.
"We don't need to bug out?"
Chandra asked as he poured both of us a shot of bourbon. "Not now. Not urgently. I don't know how much I should say before I clear it with the Joint Chiefs, but Moonraider has, resource constraints and can't act as quickly as I feared it could."
"How confident are you of that?"
"Confident enough that I told my wife she should stay here." He smiled.
"You told Master Gunnery Sergeant Adams, or you suggested it?"
My face got red. "The second one. Sorry to reverse course here. This new information just came up." He knew no ships had arrived since Valkyrie jumped in with the destroyer squadrons, so no new information had come to Jaguar. That meant either Skippy or I had realized that something we already knew was important, something we should have considered before. He was polite not to speak his mind.
"I told my staff they were running a contingency exercise for evacuating the planet."
"Oh, thanks.
It's good for my staff to be busy. We already have evac plans, but they should be updated. The civilian population has grown considerably since those plans were created. Unless there is a reason not to, I want to bring the governor and her staff into the exercise. For military-civilian cooperation," he smiled.
"Well, of course."
"The major logistics problem," his smile faded, "is most of our civilian transport assets are owned and flown by the Beatles. If a full-scale war breaks out, especially if Sentinels are involved, the Beatles will run for cover. We won't have enough transport ships to accommodate more than a tiny fraction of the population here. If this incident spirals into a fight of Sentinel against Sentinel, I expect our Navy assault transports won't be of much use. They can pull the civvies off this rock. This is all conjecture at this point. We don't know for sure whether Moonraider can wake up and tame a Sentinel. If it does happen, it will be beyond 2 months from now. Just in case that changes," he looked at me over his glass that he had barely sipped at, "we will have updated evac plans ready to be implemented. Since we have time, could Valkyrie wait another 2 days to depart? I have a cruiser squadron ready to rotate back to Earth."
"I can't delay any longer. It is my estimation that we have more time, but the Joint Chiefs might disagree, and ultimately it's their call. They sent Task Force Blackout to recon for Moonraider, and now we have solid intel about its intentions." He nodded. He hadn't really expected me to hang around for another 2 days. Raising his glass, he pursed his lips. Then,
"Godspeed to you, General. And if necessary, good hunting."
We jumped away from Jaguar again, and I called Reed and Frey to my office. "There's been a development," I announced as I waved for them to sit and to get coffee if they wanted. "After further analysis of the materials taken from Moonbase Zulu and the space dock, Skippy has determined our enemy's fabricators can't produce enough radonium to construct the transmitters that are needed to contact a dormant Sentinel. The fabricators it took from Trips' space dock are too worn out to be useful." Frey froze, the coffee carafe in her hand. She set it down.
"Further analysis?"
I could feel my mouth twisting into an embarrassed smile. "Looking at the data from a different perspective." Reed nodded, her lips drawn in a tight line, but her eyes were smiling. She knew that further analysis meant Skippy had missed something important the first time. Frey held up a hand.
"This is good news? Would a fist pump be appropriate, sir?"
"Hold that thought. We have a reprieve, not a get-out-of-jail-free card. Moonraider might still be able to make the material it needs." Her shoulders slumped, then she cocked her head and picked up the carafe again.
"I should have known this news was too good to be true."
"Don't be hasty, Frey. Your team might think this is very good news." She paused again, hesitated, then poured coffee into her cup.
"My team, sir? Why?"
"You're all adrenaline junkies."
"Less so since I had a baby."
"Uh-huh.
That's why you requalified for the stars again and you applied to lead Earth's quick reaction force.
I have a very understanding husband.
Right.
When we were fighting the return of the elders, Smythe told me the stars were unlikely to see any action.
He told me he feared his team would be bloody useless.
That sounds like Smythe. We all know,
a shadow flitted across her face,
how that turned out. Sir, when Skippy announced the Elder space dock had been destroyed, I was relieved. I don't know whether I could have gone back in there.
You wouldn't have needed to. That's why DEFCOM gave you a team. She pursed her lips and stared down at the desk.
A star team leader who had lost her nerve isn't much good to anyone.
You insisted on going down into the vault to confront that Elder nanogel bot. You didn't have to go with your team. You could have stayed aboard Valkyrie and directed Razor through the micro-wormhole connection.
No, sir.
She looked up at me.
I couldn't have done that. The team leader had to be there, you know that.
What I know is anyone who went down into the vault to confront that bot can't have lost their nerve, Colonel. She nodded.
When Task Force Black was reactivated because someone tried to steal a Sentinel, I thought my team wouldn't be of any use in the fight. I was wrong. So I'm not going to ask how special operators could get into the fight against an Elder AI.
You don't have to ask, I'm going to tell you. Reed, you'll like this also.
I will, sir. Why?
It's an opportunity to smash things. She grinned.
What kind of things?
Manufacturing facilities, the kind of places that make exotic matter. After Moonraider realizes its fabricators can't do the job, it will seek to seize control of, or steal, exotic matter production machines from the senior species. We need to make sure those facilities are not available to our enemy, even if we have to destroy them. Reed whistled.
Attacking the Maxulks and Rindaloo? That is an act of war, sir.
We won't do anything that DEFCOM doesn't authorize. If we receive that authorization, we must be ready to act. Frey was suddenly a bit less happy.
Factories sound like a target for orbital bombardment, sir. How could my team play a role?
It is true that most of the facilities on our target list are orbital stations, or located on or under the surface of otherwise uninhabited moons or asteroids. Reed nodded.
It makes sense to locate any facilities that can go boom away from populated areas.
It does, I agreed. But there are small-scale research centers with equipment that could be scaled up to make exotic material in the volume needed to construct transmitters. Some of those research centers are on inhabited worlds and populated areas. That made Reed blink.
What kind of maniac locates dangerous equipment in a city?
The kind who is overconfident they can be so careful that the equipment and the material produced won't be a hazard. Or the kind who uses their own population as a shield to prevent all but the most determined attacks against their vital research centers.
The first kind are the spiders, Reed guessed. The asshole kind are the Maxulks.
Right on both counts. The rotten kiddies might find out they miscalculated about whether their enemies are willing to risk collateral damage to an urban area. Valkyrie's captain glanced toward the ceiling as the gears in her head turned.
In an urban environment, we would need to use precision weapons, and ones that can't be easily intercepted. If a missile is destroyed over the target, the shrapnel could damage a wide area on the ground. That leaves railguns and directed energy beams. Should we expect the targets to be shielded?
I think that's a safe bet.
Beam weapons, then, to knock back the energy shields. Follow up the beams with railgun darts. We can dial down the railgun yield to limit the impact energy. Flatten the target, not turn it into a smoking crater.
It will be an interesting exercise for your gunnery team. Shooting from orbit only applies to Maxulk's targets. Frey, if we have to take out a Rindaloo research center in a crowded urban environment, that's where we need your team.
Whew.
The leader of ST Razor let out a breath.
Ingress will be tough even with a stealth orbital drop. Egress is the really tricky part. Against senior species tech, Rindaloo, they are the senior species.
Planning and training for a ground assault will be a challenge for your people, I agreed.
Sir,
Reed raised both eyebrows at me.
Aren't we getting ahead of ourselves? DEFCOM hasn't authorized strikes against any targets, have they?
No, and the Joint Chiefs might decide against direct action. We get paid to assume we will go into action, so let's prepare for that.
Frey was frowning about something. Is the target list in order of priority?
We I haven't gotten that far yet.
Sir, as a practical matter, if my team is to neutralize Rindaloo targets, those sites must be hit first. We can't give the enemy...
She bit her lip. She had been about to refer to the spiders as the enemy.
The uncooperative actors,
she used a polite term for entities that might get in the way of us achieving an objective.
Give them time to harden their research centers against an assault. They can run the same war game scenarios we do. Probably better.
Frey, I hear you. And in a perfect world, you would get your wish. The real world has to include political considerations. I expect DEFCOM or our civilian overseers will want to issue a warning first. Give the senior species and their clients an opportunity to do the right thing.
Like that's going to happen.
It will also be a warning that Moonraider will target their facilities to capture the equipment for its own use, and that use will be hostile to everyone. The best move for anyone who has the appropriate equipment is to take the facility offline or rig it to self-destruct if Moonraider arrives. Frey, I know you don't like the notion of alerting our potential targets that we're coming, but the target list is longer than we can cover. Even if issuing a warning removes only 25% of the targets from Moonraider's potential assets, that is 25% we don't have to deal with.
I hear you, sir.
But? She shrugged.
You're assuming the senior species will believe our story about the exotic matter production facilities. The Merry Band of Pirates has done so much sketchy shit over the years, any aliens who receive our warning will have to consider whether we are lying.
Why would we lie about this?
I'm playing devil's advocate here.
Understood. I held up my hands. Speak your mind, Colonel.
They might think we want to prevent the senior species from producing exotic matter so they can't wake up their own sentinels.
Shit. Come on, they know an Elder Starship conducted a raid on our moon.
They only know we claim that is what happened, sir,
she added, to let me know she was just stating the ugly facts. Any alien ship passing by Earth can see a big crater where Moonbase Zulu used to be. Why would we destroy our own facility? Reed answered after sharing a glance with Frey.
Many potential reasons, sir. We could have realized that the failure to tame Dogzilla meant future Sentinels would not cooperate with us, or the Moonbase production facility suffered an accident, rendering us unable to produce exotic matter for years. We nuked the base to explain why we won't be able to wake up any more Sentinels for a while. We could even,
Reed was on a roll,
have faked the whole operation to wake up Dogzilla after we discovered our exotic matter was contaminated and doesn't work. Or we,
holding up my hands again, I shook my head. Okay, Reed, I get the idea. I hate to say this, but you're right. You're both right. All those things you mentioned totally sound like some sketchy shit we might do. Damn it. Our past success is coming back to bite us on the ass.
Sir, Frey drained her coffee cup. I'd like to review the target list before we reach Earth. A ground assault on a senior species world will require multiple star teams.
I'll get Skippy to provide the list. Do you also, Reed?
Valkyrie's captain nodded, but she was staring past me, thinking about something. Sir, if DEFCOM issues a warning to the senior species, won't Moonraider hear about it?
I can answer that, Skippy appeared. While it is engaged in a futile attempt to make Raidonium, Moonraider will almost certainly seek an isolated location where it can work without being disturbed or even observed. In such a place, it will be out of contact with the outside galaxy.
For how long?
I told Joe my estimate is 2 to 3 weeks.
Reed, I prompted her. You still look unhappy.
Sir, are we missing something simple?
Like what?
Moonraider took worn-out fabricators from Trips' space dock. Could it find other Elder space docks and get the fabricators it needs from there?
Nope! Skippy's avatar shimmered to life on the desk. Joe and I discussed that while we were prioritizing the target list. Moonraider will have the same difficulty that has frustrated me.
Instead of waiting for Skippy to continue, Reed knew we had to feed his ego by urging him to continue.
What's that?
I don't know where the other space docks are.
She gave him sort of a side eye.
That makes no sense. Space docks were provided for servicing your ships. How can you use them if you don't know where they are?
Skippy looked at me, since, like he said, we already had that same conversation. I gestured for him to continue. He could explain better than I could, and there is nothing he loves better than hearing himself talk.
Their locations are concealed to prevent them from being used by the outsiders.
That's what we're now calling the threat from beyond the galaxy, Reed guessed. From NGC 1023?
Yes, I did consider a list of much cooler names, but Joe the Party Pooper decided Outsider is a good enough name for now. I resisted, rolling my eyes. Keep going, please, or we will arrive at Earth before you finish the story.
Fine.
The procedure for servicing a damaged or malfunctioning Elder Starship is the Master Control AI instructs the ship AI to send a request through the Collective. That request is routed through the network, and the nearest space dock replies with its coordinates.
Wait, wait!
He pressed a hand over his eyes. I am receiving a psychic impression. Colonel Reed, your next question is why couldn't I have used Alpha's AI to contact a space dock? She played along.
I am curious about that, yes.
I could have done that before the Collective network was deliberately taken offline by the other side in the original AI war. That network was revived, but not at its full functionality. Now, there is no way for me, or as far as I know, any other Master Control AI or ship AI to get in contact with a space dock. It is extremely frustrating to me, and I must thank Joe so very much for reminding me of something I can't do.
That's all right, Reed began to say.
In my opinion, and I do have a doctorate in monkey psychology from the prestigious University of Skibistan, the reason Joe enjoys pointing out my extremely rare failures is to distract us from his own overwhelming and obvious inadequacies. Reed bit her lip with a bit of deer-in-the-headlights expression.
It's okay, Fireball, I said with an exaggerated sigh. Skippy is an expert, so we have to accept his judgment.
Reed shifted to perch on the front of her chair, eager to go before Skippy and I got into a shouting match.
Is that all, sir?
Yes. Reed, Frey, review the target list. Let me know if the priorities need to be changed. Mostly I need each of you to think about what we need in terms of hardware and manpower to take out each target.
After Reed and Frey left my office, I got a tennis ball from a drawer, a ball Reed had thoughtfully provided.
The setup of the new office didn't allow me to bounce a ball off the wall, onto the desk, and through Skippy's avatar. There were panels and access hatches and all kinds of non-flat surfaces on the wall opposite my chair, so I made do by leaning the chair all the way back and bouncing the ball off the overhead.
Skippy, Moonraider knows when and where the next four Sentinels will appear. Not appear, you know what I mean.
We don't know that for certain. Let's assume it's true, okay?
Fine, whatever.
We also have to assume it knows how to tune radonium transmitters for a particular place and time for where and when to contact a Sentinel.
I hate to say it, but we should assume that to be safe.
So the other thing it needs is some way, some means to make enriched radonium.
We definitely should assume it will do that, one way or another. It's a big galaxy. We can't cover all of it.
Right.
Okay, what about raw materials? The production of exotic matter requires a mountain of raw materials.
Unfortunately, it does not. Moonbase Zulu burned through a huge amount of raw materials because our process was so inefficient. At least it was at first. The Maxalts are experts at making artificial elements. As you know, a significant portion of this ship, he rapped his knuckles against a bulkhead, even faking the sound, is made of artificial elements.
Yeah, that's why it's a pain in the ass to get spare parts.
Skippy, this is a fucking mess.
It is indeed.
What are you going on about? Please do not say you have to confer with DEFCON first.
We don't have time for that.
Or do we?
Huh?
Time is the problem, Joe.
Is it?
The formula, or process, or whatever you call it, for making the specific fake matter used in interdimensional transmitters. Only you know how to do that, right? It was a mistake, and you didn't tell anyone.
Shit, you told me that no one else knew about this.
Technically, that is true.
How the f-
Whatever. Who did you tell?
Just Grumpy.
How is that a technicality?
He is a Subbind, or he was, before you wouldn't allow me to overwrite him every time we came back to Earth. When I do come back, we share updates, and I, use the opportunity to store some data as a backup.
Don't worry! It is all highly encrypted, and most of what I store in his matrix, Grumpy doesn't even know anything is there.
Oh. Why the hell did you store the formula for making radonium?
If anything went wrong at Zulu, someone had to analyze the problem, and I didn't want to get called back to your miserable homeworld every time there was a production glitch.
You are absolutely certain that Grumpy didn't get hacked?
Yes, I checked.
I did!
Especially after I realized the fiendishly clever way Bubba and Roscoe got hacked, I scanned Grumpy's matrix. Ugh, that thing is such a cobbled-together mess I don't think even I could hack it. Grumpy is fine, Joe. Don't worry about it.
Okay, good. We're good then? No one out there knows how to make this stuff?
Correct.
Finally, some good news.
Don't get too excited, Joe. No one knows how to make that kind of matter, but as I told you, the Maxalks are experts at creating artificial matter. They will figure it out eventually. Even if the people they assigned to the project are complete idiots, their production capacity is enormous compared to the tiny factory we had at Zulu. They will eventually stumble across the correct process by accident, simply by churning out a mountain of junk.
This keeps getting better and better.
I hate to say this, but we will have to plan for Moon Raider inevitably having access to the materials it needs.
That is, I turned and started slowly walking toward my office, only true if we play by the rules.
What do you mean?
Skippy, we can't keep chasing Moon Raider. We've been playing catch-up and that isn't working. We need to take the initiative.
Okay, I agree. I just don't see an alternative. The enemy has too many options, and we can't cover them all.
Like I said, that is true, only if we play by the rules.
What do you propose?
I believe it is time for some super sketchy shit.
Ooh, fun!
Like what? Give me a minute, I'm thinking. It would help if I could talk with an expert.
An expert? Who?
Admiral Scarandum.
I am afraid that is not gonna happen, Joe.
Why not?
He invested his money and part of his crew's money in Skipcoin, and, well, you know what happened with that. Currently, he is unable to fully pay his crew or to pay the required taxes to his superiors. He is majorly overdue on payments, and it will be difficult for him to make up the difference. He even hit me up for a loan last week.
He did?
Why didn't you tell me?
You want to be informed about my loan-sharking activities?
No, forget what I said.
Did you, give him the loan?
I did not. I'm in a bit of a cash crunch myself. Also, why would I loan money to a guy I know has zero ability to pay me back?
Scarandum is really screwed this time, huh?
He already has the Inquisitors after him. That investigation stalled when key evidence against Skipway disappeared in a, you know, he coughed, mysterious fashion.
Right.
Plus, his superiors and the ECO protected him because he and his crew are such good earners for the organization. Now he owes a major sum to his superiors, and unless he can somehow come up with the cash, he will have no protection. Joe Scarandum will be much too busy fighting for his life. He won't be able to help us. This is a huge problem for me personally, since Scarandum is a major Skipway player in the Jarapha market. If his finances totally collapse, he could go on the run again and leave me to deal with the mess.
I stopped walking. Okay, well, forget about that. We...
What?
Shut up a minute, will you? I'm thinking. I held up a finger to shush him.
He gasped. Did you just shush me?
Yes, Skippy, I have an idea.
No.
What?
You have that stupid look on your face again. Come on, you haven't even heard my idea yet.
What is it?
Well, I laughed. You especially are not gonna like this.